Goodbye, 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 goodbye. Don't try to stop me, Horace, please. Wave your little hand and whisper so long, dearie, you ain't gonna see me anymore. But when you discover that your life is dreary, don't you come a-knocking at my door. For I'll be all dolled up and singing that song that says, "Your doll, I told you so." So wave your little hand and whisper, "So long, dearie, dearie." Should have said, "So long, so long ago." Ah, you treated me so rotten and rough, I had enough of feeling low. So wave your little hand and whisper, "So long, dearie, dearie." Should have said, "So long, so long ago." For I can hear that choo-choo calling me on to a fancy new address. Oh, Lord, I hear that choo-choo calling me on board that Happiness Express. I'm gonna learn and smoke a cigarette. I'm going as far away from Yonkers as a girl can get. So and on those cold winter nights, Horace, snuggle up to that old cash register. It's a little lumpy, but it rings. Don't come a-knocking, I'll be all dolled up and singing that song that said, "Your dog, I told you so." So, Horace, you will find your life a sad old story when you see your dolly shovel off to glory. Oh, I should have said so long.
Tonight on an all-new Full of Grace, Bette Midler says so long to Hello Dolly. He's a shit house. It's 2018 and the term shithole country is no longer just what people call Keith Urban's music. It's Mac tonight. A new presidential diet can have you 40 pounds lighter and 2 inches shorter or taller in 2 days, apparently by consuming only McDonald's cheeseburgers, Diet Coke, and Slovenian disgust. Pod people! Tide detergent pods are the new hipster avocado toast as a new disturbing trend emerges. Stormy weather, whores, whores, all kinds of whores, titillating allegations of adultery and bribery emerge from Stormy Daniels and two other porn actresses who are actually willing to admit they took Trump's one-eyed tootie pop to the optometrist. Literal lipstick on a pig, Sarah Huckleberry Sanders has her eye set on a glam squad. Oh, geez, I'm sorry, Aziz Ansari. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, unless it's a bitch equating a bad lay to date rape. And my first open letter of the year, I set Roseanne Barr on her ear. This and so much more tonight on Full of Grace. The slander starts here.
Lights are on and stable, Captain. Woo-hoo! Let's see some fucking action!
You bitch. I have never wanted to grab your pussy more.
It was fun to get drunk and have some guys wiener in your face.
Thank you for eating my end.
When it rains, go outside nude and let it rain on my flower.
I don't even know who the fuck you are anymore.
Live from gorgeous downtown Orlando, welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. Tonight, Divine Grace's roundtable consecrated crew is Carol Lee.
You know what? I bet Madonna lets her eat her pussy, but Madonna doesn't do it that.
Christine Robinson.
Quaaludes were involved. Right. Yes.
Jay Skinner.
He's
The basket of deplorables, they're going down with, they're going down.
And Michael O'Quinn.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a big fat one?
And now, from the bowels of Orlando, Florida, your mistress of ceremonies, the one, the only, the Divine Grace.
Yeah!
Welcome to Full of Grace, the show about life, liberty, and the pursuit. Fabulous.
Thank you.
I'm your host. It's the ever-loving Divine Grace. I'd like to give a big, warm round of applause to our in-house Foggets this evening.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for your applause. I'd like to also welcome our producer, Michael O. Resident DJ Jay Skinner is en route as we speak. Yes. Actress and comedian Christine Robinson.
Yay!
Woo! Actress and comedian Carol Lee.
Comedian is a loose word, isn't it?
Comedian.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh.
2 seconds late.
The door opens and in comes the DJ. Jay Skinner.
I was so close.
It's okay. We understand now that the Wednesday night traffic is the murder.
I'm not used to it. I could get here in 18 minutes. Now it's like 25.
I am so sorry.
Fuck this.
As soon as we get that monorail installed directly to my abode. So much to talk about. Well, how was everyone's week?
Mine was great. Mine was great. I'll go first. Mine was great.
And
that's it. I'm done.
That's great. Please help yourself.
So ladies glad and gentlemen, you got here.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Jet's Pizza. Jets, when you don't have, when they don't honor Groupon, they give you an extra pizza. So now I have enough to feed the entire third world.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's pretty much everything for this week.
Thank you.
Oh, hello to Michael Malazzo and Christopher Bishop and Parker Hayes.
You know what? And I did not. Let me just quickly rush over to my very popular Facebook page to let them know that we are live and on the air, because, as you know, the public has no idea.
Well, I did go on the Full of Grace page. So.
I got the email telling me. Who uses email anymore? Honestly.
You know what? That's kind of, let me ask you guys. That's a good question, actually. How dependent now are you on email?
Not at all.
And why?
I have no idea.
What has replaced email for you?
Instant messaging.
Pretty much. Texting, instant messaging through Facebook.
I just get so tired.
So tired.
When people ask for my email address, and I tell them it's an AOL account. See, fuck all of you bitches. It does the exact same thing as the Gmail account.
Wait, is it still, do people, do they still operate the AOL? I'm sure.
Yes, because right? I have AOL also. I have AOL.
It was their chat that no longer exists.
Yeah, right? AOL instant message went away. But yeah. Who was sitting in a chat room on AOL anymore? Nobody. But the email's still
I'm here. I'm that one person
Orlando
there.
M4M.
You can also find me on my MySpace.
MySpace.
And face page.
Why have you not accepted my LinkedIn?
Sorry.
Invitation.
No. I just blew
it on your face.
God.
LinkedIn is. I've actually gotten work through. I still get connections through LinkedIn that have.
Me. Yeah, from Craigslist.
So I still use email because I run an illegal betting ring, and that is true, but it's this tiny one. It's like 10 people.
You heard it here, folks, ladies.
It's a pick and pull for football season. So I use my email for that, but I forget that other people still have my email address, and they will then send me a message on Facebook, did you get my email? I have to go over and open up the email.
I received a script this week. I and other members of a play received a script this weekend. The way that was composed, and you know, you've got an attachment, you've got to add to it. When things have become so loosely used that now nobody remembers how to do any of it. It's like, hey, what did you think of the script? Like, still haven't gotten it. You're supposed to attach it. Oh, well, all right. Well, I finally just said, do you want to just maybe copy and paste it into the body of the email? I'll take care of printing it out. So yeah, it's 2018, and I guess we don't need no stinking email.
I just don't understand why the world hates AOL. Like, they act like I don't get what's the difference.
I know there shouldn't be no difference.
And Yahoo, I don't pay.
No,
for
I get a sticker
free.
when I say I still have my original Yahoo email address, which I've had since what 96.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Chad Pace.
And
14.
I literally just send all of my garbage. Like, we need your email to proceed. I'm like, oh, here's one that I never use. But I don't get rid of it because I have probably 2 to 3 dozen folders full of stuff, full of articles that I've, like, stuff over the decades that I've written and collected, letters from friends and fan letters that I sent out and, like, stuff, like, when I was in my 20s back in the 1900s.
You haven't touched it in 20 years.
I still...
It's
no.
time to get...
I still use it to... something has to receive all my garbage mail, which my newest email address I've had for, what, 2 years? I've got 10,000 unread emails. It's like, no matter how careful you are, like, I'm only giving this out to people I know, it still ends up being...
No, it's touched.
A litany of garbage.
Well, I have 2 email addresses. I have the Yahoo one, which I've had since, like, the early aughts. And then I've got the one that I only give to friends. If I really, really want to get something, make sure I give them that one, because that's the one that doesn't get flooded with all the garbage like you were saying.
That's when, good luck. May God have mercy on your soul.
It actually works out. No, it actually works out well.
It's not with Gmail, is it?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's my Roadrunner. If y'all remember, do you remember Roadrunner?
Roadrunner.
I remember in the 1900s when I had 4 different AOL addresses. Because, you know, the gays, we had to have our one we could give people and then the one we used for dirty things. So, like, I think it's like a hot blonde bottom or something like that at AOL.
You're a bottom?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, you would have to have sex with other people to be labeled that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But,
you know what they say, every kettle has a lid. Every kettle has a top. What did they say?
No, it's every pot has a kettle.
Every pot has a lid?
You know, you're thinking of every pot has a kettle.
Every bottom has a top. I don't know. I haven't had sex.
Every top.
The Taft administration.
Calls the kettle black?
That's the one. That's what it is.
The pot.
Thank you.
I didn't know we were
calling
looking
the
for a
kettle.
Racist.
No, I'm actually about to use that.
Who are you calling a kettle?
Good and plenty. I'm about to use that. At the end of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to dazzle you all with my first open letter of.
I love it.
This year, and it was not an easy one to write. Mm-mm. So, but we won't get into that now.
Let's not.
Well, do you want to go ahead and start? Can you get, because ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who may not be aware, Michael P. has contracted what we here at Full of Grace think might be consumption. It might be camel cough. There's some horrible flu. I thought going around Orlando, turns out, nope. It's pretty national. It's an Aussie. They're calling it the Aussie flu.
It's so bad that my mom, who always never doesn't bother me with such trivialities as, you know, be careful out there, actually called me yesterday and said, I know you work in the public, please wash your hands as often as possible and try not to touch too much stuff. I was like, what are you talking about? And she told me, like, people are dying from this flu within 2 days.
People have, in fact, been dying from it. Now, I had it. I contracted, I'm thinking, probably from Michael and Ricardo. But then you know how it is when it's one of those that lasts forever, you just keep passing it back and forth, especially at work. So now we're playing musical chairs. Well, I had it I was down, like with the sweats and the creaky bones and it's very respiratory, very in the head. And, it was the worst I've had in a hot minute. And I get at least one good one every year. This put me on my ass for 3 weeks. Mm. 3 weeks, and as of yesterday, I was still catching a fever. So, I just want to thank you all for living long enough. Anyway, now you've got it.
So the moral of that story is that Michael O is not a keyboardist.
Oh, I'm terribly... Yeah, Michael is he's here. He's queer. Get used to it.
Ugh,
Jay will be producing tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, all right, you ready to move on to Gaily Dispatch?
I am.
There's so much to talk about.
Put down the tiara and pick up a mop. because we're about to spill the tea in today's
Daily Dispatch, Auntie.
Oh, shithole.
What?
Shithole.
Language, sir.
Shithole, no. No, you can't censor me with that. Shithole is now a very presidential word. Thank you very much.
It is part of our vernacular.
I'm sorry, it's shit house.
Oh, yes, there's a huge difference.
Oh, he says shit.
One is completely offensive and the other is...
Okay.
The other is the townhouse. That's, yeah.
Did you hear the latest? They've had a few days to work on their joke. Yes, their explanation. And so the new explanation is essentially, oh no, it's in reference to the fact that all those countries have outhouses, that people have to go outside and go to the bathroom. And that's what he was referring to. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about those countries.
Yeah, because he's that smart to even think of something like that. Yeah.
So when he's on the campaign
trail, oh, he didn't respond with that.
Does he refer to Alabama as a shithouse state? Cackalacky, a shithouse state? Because they got those there.
Well, I saw a great set of tweets that said, president of a shithole country has cities where they're not supposed to drink the water till at least 2020. He's the president of a shithole country that has 26-year-olds who stretched out their insulin supply and died because they couldn't afford it. And there was like a list of five or six. I was going to post it on yours when you did about your thing today, Carol Lee, but I was like, 26. No, I don't want to take away from your excellent post.
There you go.
So yeah, that's the long and the short of it. We all know the whole shithouse, but the bottom line is that I am finding is I'm, now that I'm a member of the Instagram, I'm taking a look through, you're getting the memes, and once again, you're seeing the both sides of the political spectrum, and the Trump supporters, because I've pretty much sort of weeded them out on my Facebook, I haven't really been
exposed
for months.
Me too.
And now that I'm seeing it again, I'm like, oh wow, like it's like literally putting their fingers in their ears and going, no, not listening, nope, stupid. Like now I'm
snowflake.
There was an argument this yesterday. Someone was saying, oh well, it's, you know, there were, it was all this racist stuff under a meme, and I said, it's, oh my goodness, is this where the Klan meets? What time is the cross burning? And they were like, oh, excuse me, it's the Democrats who were racist.
Yeah,
they invented the Klan, and I do your homework. And I'm like, oh well, I'm so glad you suggested that. I did do my homework.
That David Duke and the Democrats vote for the same people.
But anyway, do you want to copy off my homework and what the Southern strategy was and how all that worked? But I seem to remember David Duke and the Klan supporting and endorsing Trump, not so much with that crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, anyway. So, like I said, I'm now seeing the level of stupidity that I thought was restrained only to the White House.
It is literally a la la.
It's just nope, it's fake. No, it's not true. And like, prove it. So like, the Washington Post last week said, as of the new year, we are now at a total of 2,000 plus verified lies that he has told in office. And
on a
rate,
on a pace of 5.6 a day.
Five to six a day. They said, why? Yo, really? Name one. And I was like,
oh, there's 2,000 of them.
Wait, you mean like, starting with the inauguration numbers and finishing with whatever just
biggest
came out
electoral
of its fucking mouth. And then, well, for example, and then I said, no, it doesn't matter what I tell you. It doesn't matter what I point out. You're just going to regurgitate some bullet point that you've been given by Fox News.
Breitbart.
That's who's running the country now, is Fox News. Not so much Breitbart. Steve Bannon subpoenaed.
I heard about
subpoena
that.
With a plea bargain.
But that's because he refused to do... There's like a couple of ways that they get your information. You can either volunteer it...
Or we can beat it out.
Yeah, or we can beat it out of you. And he refused to volunteer it, so they subpoenaed him.
Well, this will be fine.
It's going to be great.
But it was my understanding that he's made a bargain with them.
He's out at Breitbart, and he's now having to work with Mueller.
He's made a bargain with Mueller, and it's said that he doesn't have to testify in front of a grand jury.
I have the biggest political boner right now. It's like a priapism. It's just sustained.
That's just it. With the Trumpsters, like, I want to keep going, you want the proof, here's the proof, blah, blah, blah. But then I think, No, I'll just wait and gloat because it's when the House of Cards falls, I'll be able to go, remember when? Remember when? I'm just looking for it. I can't.
Well, I mean, he said at one point, because I won't say his name, 45 the Clown said at one point.
That doesn't make him less of the president. In, you know that, right?
I refuse to acknowledge President Shithole. Go ahead. Hashtag President Shithole.
Got it.
House.
He said at one point last week in a 3-minute span, I think he was with the Prime Minister of Norway, that's why he said Norway. Because that's what was freshly on his dotard mind. But he said, when the press asked him something about it, he said 20 times in 3 minutes.
Collusion.
No collusion.
Collusion.
No collusion. Or 20 times in 3 minutes.
Well, have you read Mein Kampf? One of Hitler's lines is, if you repeat the lie enough, people will start to believe it.
Yeah, you just have to keep saying it.
What's fascinating to me about the Schiphol stuff is that he is, what I love is all of the people on CNN and Fox News and every news channel pretending to be offended by the word shit. Like none of them have ever used such language. Dare I say, I've never heard such language. How dare. Coming around me saying S-H-I, you know what, double hockey sticks.
S-H-I, or S-H asterisk T-hole.
And the amount of time, coming up with different terms for it.
Asshole.
Well, the president has referred to bleep hole countries.
Blank hole.
It's not a censored word. The president has said it. They should say it. Just like what's her pussy? That little Spanish Republican that's always on
Ana Navarro.
I love her.
She's great.
But when the pussy thing came up, and people were like, and he said, grab him by the you know what. We're all fucking adults here. There ain't no 8-year-olds watching CNN. And if there are, the president has said it.
She kept saying,
pussy, pussy, pussy. And these people were like, stop saying that word.
Oh, I remember that panel,
It was like, I am just fascinated by the pretending. Fake puritanism, though.
Yeah.
Like the
puritanism.
Puritanical.
I can't.
Puritanicalism.
There you go. Let's add a little more.
But it just fascinates me that we as a country in 2018 are pretending like we have never referred to Alabama as a shithole. I've been to Alabama. It is a shithole.
Let's talk.
Fort Wayne, in my hometown, is a shithole.
Let's talk about the use of these words for a second, Bill. A lot of this conversation started, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, when there was the discussion of removing the N-word from Huckleberry Finn. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and whatnot, because it's become such a painful, divisive word, that sort of thing, and it's unacceptable in today's language. Well, during that discussion, when this was being reported on in the media, people were saying like, well, there was a discussion of removing the word nigger from Huckleberry Finn, and people were getting very incensed by that. It was like, first of all, that's exactly why it does not need to be removed. That's what words have power. As much as you keep telling me not to be or as much as they keep telling people, stop being so sensitive and stop being such a snowflake. The moment we use a word in a book that you have no problem calling the cashier, it's the moment that suddenly, oh, no, your piety, your self-righteous piety is so, my sensibilities.
Do you remember last year when Bill Maher made a reference to himself about being a house nigger?
And that was, the point was, oh, yes, and he came back and apologized for it, which upset me, because I understand the word is painful. I understand the word is difficult. And as a Caucasian, I can understand why people would say, you do not get to tell me whether or not it is offensive. That's fine, but it is a word. By just using an N and a couple dashes doesn't change that word. And if you were removing it, I know this is an old conversation, but if you're removing it from something like Huckleberry Finn or the news, you are taking that inherent power from it.
Or music.
Or music. You're taking the power from that word. I can understand the need to take the power from that word. When that's appropriate. When you are discussing the word, it's just a word.
You're not using it as an epithet or a slur.
There is nothing there. A word, a literal word, is being discussed. Singularly. That's it. It has nothing to do with the implication, unless it is about the implication. But so this idea of, well, Saturday Night Live on the news, this on their version of the news, Weekend Update, this last week, he said, well, all right, so the president said asshole, but I'm saying shithole. And they didn't believe it, so I'm saying shithole because the president said, because the president can say it now. We can say shithole.
South Park, so we can say pussy grabbing. It became uncensored in primetime like 20 years ago, and South Park did a whole episode where they said shit, yeah, and made a cat encounter.
237
times or something.
Yes, and primetime TV shows now say
it's
shit.
It's not a censored
word. And
it's kind of that's still jarring to me because I remember, I'm old enough to remember the first time I heard the word bitch on national television. Dynasty.
I thought you were going to say you remember the first time you saw Dennis Franz's butt cheeks on
NYPD
Blue.
I remember that, on NYPD Blue. But I also remember the first time I heard bitch. You know, I remember growing up as a kid in Florida, it's damn. And you're like, ooh, that's crossing the line. But nigger, we heard a lot from George Jefferson. We heard a lot in that sort of, and you were like, well, that had less power then, didn't it?
Archie Bunker said it.
Archie Bunker.
The very first episode of Sanford and Son, Fred sitting in church calling another black guy
a nickel.
In church.
My question is this, though. I've always had this question. Because, like, when Paula Deen was going through that, it was always like, you know, Connie Chung was on the national news going, and then Paula Deen reportedly said the N-word. So if you can say the N-word out in public, like, those three words together, the N-word, can we put it back in jokes, then? Can we say, like, three Jews and an N-word walked into a bar? Does that make it okay?
To use it as the N-word?
Let's just say the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Like, sure, why not?
Like when Sammy Davis Jr. got on a bus, and the bus driver said, hey, N-word, back of the bus. And Sammy Davis Jr. said, but I'm Jewish. And the bus driver said, well, in that case, get off.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum.
Oy. Wow.
Thank you.
You're all night, folks.
Try the veal tipper server.
No, but I just love that the immediate spin that's been put on it is that it's tough language. Because I'm tough. I'm an American tough guy.
Well, no, and that's just tough language. All right, so that's my, you know, we've, during this last 24 months, basically, we've been told every possible excuse from this self-righteous, pious, religious right saying, well, it's locker room talk, mm-hmm. Or oh, it's just, you know, he didn't mean it that way, or this, that, and the other. But the moment that I referred to, I don't know, Jan Crouch as a cunt, they get all into a tizzy.
Yeah. Well, for the fact that those assholes were wearing t-shirts that said Hillary's a cunt,
yeah,
and I'm with Trump,
yeah,
I'm sorry, fuck them and fuck that shit. That's stupid.
Lazy. Fuck them in their shithole.
That's, no, house.
The shit house.
House.
Fuck them.
She's this is a shit.
This is a very...
house.
I'm going to have to ask everybody to watch their language.
Oh, no. I hope they find an N-word to fuck them in the shit house.
I don't know.
In the SH asterisk T, you know what, house.
Within the first 30 minutes, we have managed to become completely racist. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Shut up, faggot.
Racially insensitive. Yeah! Great. Now homophobic. Let's somebody want to throw in the word tranny while we're at it? let's go to break.
That's offensive.
Yeah, let's
let me go to break
merch
and wrangle these queers in.
Queers. How dare you
say. We do need to discuss that as well. Trannies? What are we about to listen to?
Let's listen to some Church of the Poison Mind, since all of us have been poisoned.
I am terribly sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, that was straight out.
Doesn't need love.
No, because you see, Sammy Davis was a black and a Jew. You see.
Oh.
He'd rather have black guy. Okay.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to a very offensive Full of Grace, ladies and gentlemen.
The gloves are off.
You know, before somebody doesn't know what to call one of us, I would remind you that it's now, we are now, am I saying community correctly? Community?
Community.
We are, the community is now referred to as LGBTQQIAAP.
Well, makes me long for the days when we were just FAGs.
That's right. Nevertheless, stay. Lesbian, gay. Wait, why do lesbians come first? Always ladies first.
Oh, is that how I'm supposed to say it now?
Now it's supposed to be LGBT. It's never been. Oh, okay. GLBT sounds like a sandwich.
Yeah, somebody said that a couple of times.
Some people do use that.
GLBT.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you know who says that? Masochists. Not masochists. I'm sorry. Misogynists.
Masochists.
Masochists say that, but through a ball gag.
I thought it was some massage.
A massage artist?
Why aren't we just people?
Well, people are people, so why should it be? So right now it's lesbian. No, follow with me.
Okay.
Lesbian, gay, then there's bisexuals.
But doesn't lesbian mean gay?
No. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, another T for transsexual, queer, questioning, intersex, ally, asexual, and pansexual. I don't even know what at least 8 of those letters mean.
Christopher Bishop says that once some conservative assholes used LGBTWTF.
I kind of
funny.
I understand. Well, here's the best part. The moment I saw the story about this week, some heterosexual chimed in and says, "Oh, great. But leave us out. Way to be inclusive." And they're like, "Oh, actually, you know, heterosexual ally was where you were supposed to have fitted in.
That's where
why do I need to be part of? I mean, I am a part of your
community. You are a part now. You're an ally.
I get it, but I don't. I already knew that. I didn't need to be told. I'm like, you know, like no, there's no football fans here, but in Seattle, they have a football team,
the Seahawks,
that's and right. They have what's called the 12th man, and it's a tradition that the 12th man, the entire stadium, there are people filled with jerseys number 12, and it says the 12th man, and it's this whole thing of like, if you're a fan in Seattle, you cheer really loud. It's one of the loudest stadiums, the way it's built. It's one of the loudest stadiums to play in, and that the 12th man can make a difference by drowning out the opponent's quarterback signals. And so I just thought, like, why do we need...
But see, that's just it. The allies don't.
I know.
These are people who are not really... If you're complaining about that, you're not an ally.
No.
You're just...
This isn't about me. This is about you. I'm here to help you.
That's sort of like showing up to a quinceañera and saying, but what about my bar mitzvah? Nobody asked me.
Volunteering at the soup kitchen and asking for your certificate before you actually start.
Where's my soup? Oh, nobody fed me. All right, well, so there's that. I'm sorry if I've offended anybody who is gay or lesbian or bisexual or transsexual or transgender or queer or questioning or intersex, an ally or asexual, pansexual, LMNOP.
We accept your apology.
So what else is here? Let me open up.
Can we talk about Trump's spiritual advisor just for a
second?
You know,
let's get divine, shall we?
Let's get divine.
So what happened?
So Trump's, for the folks that don't know, there is a blonde-haired charlatan, figure she's a blonde.
I'm in the room.
That has been the mouthpiece of the spiritual side of the administration, essentially the president's personal pastor. And she went on, did a conference or whatever, and preached that if you support the president, if you love this president, you need to tithe a month's salary. Now, mind you, the typical tithe is 10% of your salary. So they're asking now for 12%. It doesn't sound like much. But they're out and out asking for more money now. And the whole thing just stinks to high heaven. She said...
Stinks to where?
High heaven. And she said that he was the most spiritual man she had ever met. The superlatives that he uses. You know, I'm the greatest... I'll be the greatest jobs president ever. I'm the... Whatever. So I just thought... She's literally, he's got his hand up her, grabbing her pussy and controlling her. And she's essentially saying, he's the most spiritual man I've ever met. And if you support him and you want to get into heaven, you need to give us a month's salary. Tie the month's salary. And I just thought, there are the people out there that are going to go, it's mind-boggling.
Now, when you add literally that,
getting, what's that?
When you add that to the math is, once you look through your bills and whatnot at the end of the year, you give 2 months of your salary to the government in taxes.
More than that.
Well, it's, it equates to the average is 2 months' salary.
Has.
Goes to the government.
Right.
Has up to this point.
Well, now it's, I guess it'll be.
Exactly. More. It will be more. So it has been up to this point around that much.
Oh, thanks for bringing everybody down.
Aw, sorry.
We were keeping it very light.
I'm trying.
So then in essence, though, you're giving a quarter of your year.
Yeah.
A quarter of your annual salary to Jesus and Donald Trump, which I guess is roughly the same thing nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I always find that so interesting, too, that the Christians, I'm not surprised the Christians have embraced him like they have, because they're not truly Christians, and he's just espousing, they all espouse all of the crap he stands for. They're, I'm Christian, and Jesus this and Jesus that. And then you read through their belief system of what they're praising him for. And, of course, there's nothing Christ-like about it. Nothing. We all know that. But, like I said, the moment you said, well, wait, that's not Christ-like. It's, you witch, burn her! It's bizarre
world. I read it.
They turn the argument around. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, so much for being tolerant.
Oh, I love that.
No, I won't tolerate
That's not how that works. That's no, being tolerant of intolerance. That's not how that
intolerance,
works.
Intolerance of intolerance is not intolerance.
That's not how that works. That's right. It's like, oh, well, I thought you were supposed to be better. And that's why I'm also saying a big fuck you to that when they go low, we go high bullshit.
Yeah.
How's that worked so far? Has asking nicely
worked?
Did they say please at Stonewall? I mean, you don't have to throw a brick. You don't have to kill somebody. You don't always have to be... you don't always have to cause a fuss. Rosa Parks didn't cause a fuss, but she didn't ask nicely. She said, well, can I please sit here? She said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm sending your partner, one of your work partners, somebody who is often saying, well, you know, this is the time when we should all come together and be nice, and it should be about love, and this, that, and the other. I'm like, you do that. If that works for you and you're able to pull people, choose the nuts. You're able to pull people to your fold that way. That's fun. That's not what I do.
That person has lived a very white privileged life and has never, ever in her life dealt with anything other than upper white class people.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I think when we're talking about what it is for me to be straight, white, cisgendered, I've never experienced any of the kind of backlash against me. What I see these days is people presume that I'm gay, you know, because of my social media presence.
How dare they?
And I just let them go with it. I think I have fun with it. So, but it's not personally, it's not calling me the N-word or the faggot word or anything like that. It's, you call me every name you want because I'm the straight one. You can call me everything.
Can't say the N-word, but the faggot word.
The N-word or the faggot word.
The N-word or the faggot word.
That's okay.
Well, I was talking about a bundle of sticks. What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Middle English.
How dare you?
But I honestly don't.
Sorry about someone from Niger.
I don't have.
Bundle of sticks.
Any pushback against me. So when I hear people tell me to be nice, I'm like, for what? I'm not under attack. Why do I have to be nice? They're attacking my friends. I'm defending my friends, my adopted community, or the community that I've been accepted into. So like you said, they go low, we go high.
I know that I'm boorish. I know I'm insensitive. I know I'm crass. I know
it's I'm boorish, loud. Different than boring.
I'm a little of column A and a little of column B. But I spent almost half of my life so far, almost half of that, being very nice and using please and thank you and being and just sort of taking it. Mm-hmm. Just taking it and sort of being the better guy. Because my justification was, you know what? The end of the night, when I put my head down on the pillow, I know I've done the right thing. That was enough for me. It's not anymore. Mm-mm. That's not enough for me anymore. Because the second half of my life was me constructing a staircase from here to heaven. A staircase way going, you know what I should have said was, because you get kicked around and punched around and beaten around long enough and you realize nobody's taking you seriously. Mm-hmm. Nobody has any respect for you because you've allowed them to treat you like garbage. You may not like how I demand you're not going to treat me like garbage, and that is fine. I do not care anymore. I sat down, I was telling you last week, I sat down at the end of the year going, I'm going to sit down and write a bunch of letters. There are a lot of people I just want to go, you know, I've upset you, or I've said something, or I don't know what it was that I said, but you obviously don't care for me anymore, and I'm really sorry about that, and da-da-da. And then I thought about it and went, no. I'm 43. At what point am I going to say, you don't like me? Okay. All right. I don't care anymore. Like, I don't get me wrong. I want people to love me. I don't want to be a thorn in people's side, but it doesn't motivate me.
Do we have any feelings about the now resurfaced story of President Holy paying off a porn star?
Oh, we're getting to that. Stormy weather.
Mm.
Well, let's go ahead and get to that. So the whores. Oh, my God, whores. Whores here. Everywhere. Whores. Present. Harlots, we strumpets.
By the way,
daughters of darkness.
As a straight man, I am very familiar with
whores.
Who she is.
Me too.
Are you?
And
you? Is she any good?
Yes. Well, I mean, now mind you, this was early aughts, so it was post-divorce.
Well, she's still at it, so she's still creaking along. She might be dry as a hickory whistle.
No, she's
doing
young.
MILF porn now.
But what's no, that? She's doing young.
Well, yeah, that's all I can
remember. No, she could be 12. I wouldn't care. She's been in the business for at least 14 years. No, yeah. Since 2000.
Yeah.
So 18 years. So I'm sure you could start a fire with the kindling down below. She's dry. No, she's been.
I bet she looks like she sat on a hand grenade at this point.
Yeah, it's really like a lamprey and vomited a bologna sandwich.
Like when you boil a cabbage and it opens on its own, you know?
Yikes. Tell us more about Stormy. So that we used to use the drop,
Stormy Daniels. Wait, who's she? Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels' daughter.
In 2016, prior to the election, we used a drop that I said, you know, that was the grab him by the pussy was going to be the end. There's no way he would get elected. Well, I mean, we have moved beyond grabbing by the pussy to now literally paying them for the pussy.
No, wait. Let's back up a second. I don't care. Of course he's buying. Look, there is our first lady.
His
is
wife
purchased.
Is a porn star.
She's exactly. Purchased. She's a prostitute. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know that people say, no, don't say that. That's not cute. And all right, she's a sex worker. This is a woman who has been paid for a very specific group of talents. Those are no longer used. I'm fully believe that she is now on staff because they were ready, I'm sure, to cut ties before they're like, oh shit, we won? Oh crap, well we can't have a divorced president. Mm-hmm. How much? And she's, you know, give me 10 million rubles. Or whatever. And I'm sure that once that his term is up, or whatever, when everything goes down, and it will, that she'll say, I'm out! Das Vidanya, I'm out! And she'll be gone. No. I'm not surprised he has a whore, that he's had several whores. That's what he does. That's what people like Donald Trump does.
That's what I am. Presidents have done.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the first. That's why I'm so surprised, though, that the same people.
Every other president would get a girl next door.
That's like Marilyn Monroe.
Hello. Yeah, all right. Hey,
No.
Girl next door.
When we were having this conversation about pussy grabbing, the Republicans shot back, oh, suddenly now you care about sexual impropriety after Bill Clinton. It's like, well, yeah, you know what? You're right. He was scum when it came to fidelity. He was scum when it came to, you know, to adultery. But you don't get to use that card and then turn around and say, so every man does it. Every president does it.
That's why I'm offended. I'm not defending Bill Clinton's action.
No.
I'm pointing out your hypocrisy in it.
Yeah, if you're going to impeach, and they did impeach Bill Clinton for using Monica Lewinsky as a cigar caddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
This whole conversation.
And Paula Jones and mouth. I mean, look back, there
some
was
more
like
pizza.
Ugh, there was I think that's why Americans were upset with Bill Clinton is because he chose some pretty ugly girls. Like, it wasn't Meryl.
He liked girls that he could get, I think.
Oh, well.
Yeah, the girls that weren't going to put
Monica
up the fight.
There wasn't much fear of Monica running away.
Quickly.
Paula Jones would have to get, you know, that head of hers through the door first. And
she couldn't turn sideways. That nose would hit her.
Oh, she was unfortunate looking. But you know what? That's not for me to decide. Yes, it is. The slander starts here, ladies and gentlemen. She was ugly. So ugly, her face could stop a fucking clock.
Oh, she's so ugly, it hurt my feelings.
Speaking of ugly, we are now employing makeup.
A stylist! Oh my god, how much do I love? It's literally putting lipstick on a pig. And let me ask you something. Do you think... So, Sarah Huckleberry Sanders and Kellyanne Conway have a stylist. Now, it turns out that's, you know, of course, that's not necessarily uncommon on within a presidency. George Bush had his own makeup artist. All of us have either worked in theater or been in front of a camera. Like, worked in a drag bar. We all understand the necessity of makeup, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. under a stage light, especially in front of a camera, especially now that everything's high definition and that, like we were talking about, you know, last week watching the Globes, the makeup on these women coming down the red carpet was, like, so severe. And I kept saying to you guys, it was like, holy crap. And you're like, yeah, but wait until they get inside. And, mm-hmm. of course, under those lights, they look glorious. Mm-hmm. Like, every black... dark brown, I'm assuming. Let's go with a full-on black.
Well, it's like...
for the contouring on Eva Longoria, making her look like she had a lantern jaw on stage. Beautiful.
But you saw them on the red carpet in basically day drag.
Yeah.
When you've seen drag queens during the daytime.
Daytime drag.
Whoa! Oh, girl.
Well, so it's no surprise that they're having to do it, especially when given a challenge such as Kellyanne Conway or Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now, my question is, now I know that... it requires an exorbitant amount of spackle to fill in the cracks on Kellyanne.
Hmm.
She's looked like she's had a hardcore meth addiction since day one. And much like people who work on any presidential campaign and within the office, you know, it puts some years on you. It's not an easy job. It'll stress you out.
This one, more than any, though, you have to, oh, and you're God. Right about that, with many in the past. Even with Clinton, it was like, oh my God, yeah, he screwed around, blah, blah, blah. And Bush, he's just stupid and dumb, and other Bush was stupid and dumb and made bad choices. But this one, you've got the obvious idiot and having to continually
convince people
up.
The emperor has clothes
yes,
on.
Yes, and be, yeah. and
every
say,
day waking up to like,
to
what,
saying,
the
what the
fuck
hell?
Has happened
You
now.
Know that they're on major drugs to keep them going. Just in the sense of keeping them sane.
I don't believe... first of all, Kellyanne Conway and Sarah Huckabee may be horrible, filthy garbage people. However, I don't believe they've gotten where they have simply by being stupid. I think that both of them have to look at themselves while they brush their tooth in the morning and go, oh, shit.
Of course they do.
All right, put on that smile and go out here and do this another day, another dollar. Is what they're
exactly.
saying. I don't believe for a second that there's already leaks from the White House saying that Kellyanne just said, no, he's a complete moron. I can't stand this guy, but I'm just making my...
Exactly.
Making
She's
my
making
way.
Money.
Girl's gotta eat.
Sarah is one of three press secretaries in the first year of the administration. She's the only one that's lasted. Why? Because she's found the magic words. Nope, didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Fake news. Nope. No, no matter what they ask her. No.
I'm really tired of answering that.
That has already been answered. We have already... I think the president has been very clear.
As we've stated in the past.
Ugh. It's... Anyway, so they've got a... they have a glam squad. Someone... Wait. I have got to read to you this woman. They've got a woman in particular... And her...
It's a woman?
There is a woman. Oh, no. Can you... No gay man is going to step in for this administration. Come on.
Randy Ross would.
Oh, well, there's you. And he's pretty good with makeup. Hold that thought, because he's got those glossy, trampy little lips of his. This is our professional stylist, Katie Price, who formerly ran a bridal business called Nova Bells.
I think they meant brothel business.
And freelanced for clients like, get ready for this.
Oh, God.
Freelanced for clients like CNN and Russia Today. Yes, you heard that correctly. Was hired during the Mooch's tenure after he sung her praises at a CNN broadcast. So Scaramucci... brought her in. And, you know, now that I think about it, he was tarted up quite a bit.
Oh.
Like, isn't that why he really looked like who's the comedian?
Mario Cantone.
Mario Cantone. It's like, yeah.
I thought he looked like Chris Kattan to me.
Could have also pulled that off. You're absolutely right. But, yeah. He said, and now Scaramucci is chiming in. He's like, yeah, the only thing I ask Sarah, if you're watching a left there and makeup person we have on Friday, I'd like you to continue to use that here. He's like saying, hey, well, you know, they've put on an array of raccoon eyes over her. They keep trying looks out on her. And
bless her heart.
I gotta imagine, like, it's going to take some skill to bring some semblance of symmetry to Huckabee's face, because she's got that big wonky, that one eye. Oh.
My favorite outfit they put her in, though, was the Blanche Devereaux bedroom collection. She
totally looked like the wallpaper.
The wallpaper from the Golden Girls. Or the Best Friend, right?
No, it's matching.
Best Friend matches the wall.
I've been enjoying seeing the different length. They've tried lots of stuff. They've tried like different lengths of eyelashes on her, and the longer the lash, the more wonky the eye looks. It's just delightful.
Why don't
to
they
see.
Try though? I don't. I'm surprised they don't try the old drag technique of blocking out one eyebrow and redrawing it back in at the same height as her right eye, so that she'll look. Of course, she'll look in a constant state of shock. Or they can bring the other one down so she just looks angry.
Well, try the ballerina.
She looks very skeptical every day. She said, I don't know if I believe this eyebrow.
She looks like she just walked in from a bender after a frat party. That's what she looked like. Why don't they try that ballerina technique of white eyeliner on the waterline of your eye?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what I want to see. It's Bianca Del Rio doing Sarah Huckabee's makeup. Or just
she would even out those eyes.
She'd
Bianca
even the
even
eye
out. Those eyes. Because Bianca has a wonky eye.
Yes, she does.
She has a very subtle look. She's also here in town. I'm not sure if you have any desire to see her, but I can't wait. Bianca Del Rio will be performing in March here in our Fair Hamlet. And I have access to tickets.
Yeah.
Through Bianca Del Rio.
Mm.
So, if you guys want to go. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Ladies and gentlemen, Carol Lee does not care.
We've got a feud.
Oh, this is going to be great. Well, she's on the show. So, all right, well, I guess that's our show for tonight. Wow. No, so what are we about to listen to?
Well, speaking of all the looks they've tried on her, let's listen to You've Changed from Sia.
Oh, I was hoping Betty Davis eyes.
By the wonderful.
No, there's a new version.
Oh. Sammy Davis
eye.
Or we can Sarah listen to something Huckabee else since that song isn't loaded in. Let's listen to...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, let's listen to... I gotta find something, because...
You know what? Just to... How about we play... What, do you have anything that... Huckleberry Hound?
Please! Jeez,
where's our producer that knows how to do stuff?
Well, there's stuff missing out here, so... Let's listen to Hold On, I'm Coming from Sam and Dave.
Well, none of that makes sense!
That's missing, too. Hold on, that's missing.
Are they not coming up?
They're errored.
If only there was
how about
that knew how to do things other than 8-track.
Oh, speaking of makeup that looks like hookers, let's listen to Roxanne from a group called Dubzan.
Never heard of them.
Yes, this is Ease from Seed Posse, Berlin City. Bringing to you this one in a Dubzan.
Roxanne, you don't have to wear that dress tonight. Those days are over, you don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne, you don't have to wear that dress tonight. Those days.
Into you this one in a dope.
Roxanne, you don't have to spend your body. Roxanne, you don't have to wear that dress tonight. Those days are over. Wrong or if it's right, Roxanne. Love you since I knew y'all. I wouldn't talk down to y'all. Have to tell you just how I feel. I won't share you with another boy. I know my mind is made up, so take away your makeup. I told you once and I'll tell you again, it's the bad way. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
You don't care if it's wrong or if
I was the White House stylist back in the 70s, and I had to get Pat Nixon a bikini wax. Oh, God, she farted. And there was a bubble of wax that I had to pop right in my face.
Oh, my God, we're back.
We're back.
Oh, who was that again?
That was, so it's a cover band, and the song is called Roxanne, and the band is called Dubzan.
Dubzan. Well, one more quick thing I wanted to bring up about 45, and I'll be done with them for the evening, is this astonishing. I've never seen a diet work so well, a New Year's diet work so well so quickly. 2 days, in 2 days' time, Donald Trump managed to lose between 40 and 60 pounds and grow 2 inches. So his doctor came out today. Now here's the best part. Michael kept saying, "No, you got to see it. I can't bring myself to watch the press briefings every day because I no longer have a sharp razor." And this guy comes out, and Michael's like, "No, it's the theatricality of it is what I couldn't take my eyes away from." And then watch his ears, and so I'm watching this.
Navy doctor.
He's a Navy doctor, steps out.
Ronnie Jackson.
Ronnie Jackson, who apparently in his first letter spelled his own name incorrectly. So in no way was that written by Trump or someone on his administration. It's just the guy giving Trump his physicals, not really sure how to spell his own name. All right. Anyway. So he steps out, straight out of the gate, the hair. He's a little disheveled. It's already like, oh, he's okay. Well, he's got a lot on his mind. He's not probably not used to being in front of a camera right away. But
he's been the White House physician for 20 years, though.
He steps down and says, "Well, hello. Let me tell y'all what's going on.
You know,
he's great. Oh my God, he doesn't smoke. Yes, he hasn't smoked, hasn't drank.
You know.
Yeah.
He said, you know.
Yeah.
108 times.
So he didn't drink. He didn't smoke. So he's doing great now. His cholesterol is a little high, so we gave him, it wasn't Lipitor, but whatever this low grade is. No, other than that, yeah, he could use more exercise, because I think if he were, he's like, yeah.
No, but did you hear he takes Propecia?
Doesn't she work down at TD Bank? She's the teller with the long fingernails.
He takes Propecia.
Pops her tongue.
Can you imagine what his hair would look like if he didn't take a hair loss prevention pill?
Well, no, I've seen him backlit, and now I have some idea of what's going on underneath that contraption.
Yeah, it's he's got a friar's cap, right? He swirls it.
It's quite elaborate.
I had to come out of the Foggit pit for this. Did you notice too? Anytime he said something like, I remember one that he said, "Oh, he takes Ambien, like we all do." blah, 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 blah. He said, like we all do on a few things. Did you notice that? Things that he has to take or that...
once a day, Valtrex, like we all do.
Like we all do. Yeah, he said that. But his ears were the biggest thing because his ears got so fucking red when he was...
So, lying. Yeah, all right. So some people, you know, there are certain people, our boss is one of them, when their blood pressure rises under stress, their ears become inflamed, become red. And so it's a tell. For some people, it's like, oh, they're lying when their ears go boom, red. This guy looked like he was signaling a fighter pilot. Wee, wee, wee. It was unbelievable, but it was also like this strange theatricality. This, no, he's great. No, it's great. I cannot wait to see Saturday Night Live get a hold of that this coming Saturday. But anyway...
When you watch it, though, count how many times he says you know.
It's,
just like when people lie. Just like when Trump
says that. When he says, believe me.
Yeah. Believe me. Oh, I
believe me, this tax reform is not going to help me. Believe me.
So he's delivering this this clean bill of health, which I think we all know is... you can look at the man and say this is complete garbage. Something that Michael had pointed out today is there's a photograph... during the inauguration of 6'1" Barack Obama standing next to supposedly 6'3" Donald Trump. Barack Obama at that point actually looks taller. Now, I have often heard and read over the years that Trump was a tall man. I'm not doubting he was 6'3", but when you're in your 70s, my father in his 60s shrank. My father was 6'3". By the time he passed, he was 5'9". And we have a door in our house where he's measured us as we grew up and put our age. And then we started doing it to him, and you could see it go down, down, down. It was bizarre. Well, so Trump is shrinking. In order for him to be not obese at this weight, he would have to be the height he's at, which still puts him...
1 pound.
But look at him.
Look at it.
But I've gotten all of that 1 pound, that one, you know, add another inch to get that 1 pound because of vanity. Just as don't give them fodder for one other joke.
Right. Oh, but what they've done is, it's all calculated.
Just look at
it. It is a distraction because now all they're talking about on the news is this physician and his assessment when Steve Bannon has been subpoenaed, and all of the shit is coming down. So it's so calculated.
We had the sitting president of the United States do a fake news award show.
Yep.
What is going on?
Did anybody notice the telephone number we have all been asked to call for Trump?
Yes, I saw that.
If you call, there's a number, a legitimate number, because I called it in the car. You call to thank Donald Trump and tell him what he's done great.
Press one to thank him
and two not to thank him. If you press two, I'm just like, I'm going to press two and give him an earful. Hangs up.
Click.
Press one and I'm like, I would like to thank you for 12 months up. Beep. Done. They just want you to go, thank you, so they've got numbers.
So, not only that, but so that they can give it to, they'll edit out all the bad stuff, and they can give him a pair of headphones so he can listen to the country praise him.
They're only giving you 10 to 15 seconds.
Well, that's what I mean, but that's all he needs is to hear an hour of people saying thank you.
That's his workout playlist. 5, 6, oh, all right, we'll try again tomorrow. That's it. Mental stability. Now, his cognitive,
he asked for a cognitive test and the doctor didn't see a point in giving him one.
But he said he would, and the cognitive skills are there.
Which is different.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's nothing about psychological. Yeah.
Or intellectual, yeah. Right.
That just means he can touch his nose with his finger.
Right.
That's exactly what it means. He can hoist a cheeseburger, a non-poison McDonald's cheeseburger.
Right.
To his mouth was something else interesting that Michael had brought up was, you know, during both terms of the Reagan administration, but really during the second term, the entire nation watched as our president's mental health started to decline. And Michael's had conversations with people who were close to the Reagan administration who said that second term, he was just a puppet. It was just something to prop up. I remember that joke where they ask Nancy Reagan at the White House, what will you be having for dinner? And she's, you know, the chicken or the fish. She says, well, I'll have the fish. And they said, and for your vegetable? And she said, Ronnie will have the fish as well. Because he was, you remember when everything started, well, those got longer, and it was just Grandpappy with the shoe polish in his hair, telling and spinning another yarn about something. Well, the difference between Reagan and Trump, first of all, is that Reagan had a lot more people liked Ronald Reagan. They were more forgiving of it. Secondly, there was no internet, so there was a water cooler discussion about his mental health.
But the exposure wasn't there. You not only saw him in short snippets on the nightly news.
You had to look. Yeah. You had to look for it to see it. And most people were not. It's like if you didn't turn on the news, you weren't watching it. There were no.
If you didn't turn the TV on at 5:30 or 6 o'clock or again 11. At 11.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
His last physical.
His last physical. Yeah, was not great. I pulled something.
No, it said he was in perfect health. That's what I'm saying.
Just 1 second.
The White House doctor said that.
Well, Jenna said that one of the reporters asked, how is he in such good health considering he eats KFC and McDonald's? And Dr. Ronnie Jackson said, well, it's genetics. It's genetics. Well, yeah, in the sense that he hasn't had a heart attack, it's genetics. But we can look at that body and say that's...
That he's an inch away from a stroke.
The funny thing is, like you talk about that 1 pound and the fact that he's shrinking. He may have been 6'3 at one point.
He was.
But he's 6'1.
Or 6'2, 6'3, yeah.
He's 6'1. We can all see the golfing outfits and tell that that is an obese man. That is not overweight. That is an obese man.
Can I just interject very quickly, because I didn't know if you were going to get to this. Speaking of golf and the fact that that's what he was doing on Martin Luther MLK Day. That he was the only president within the last 20 years.
We like to call it M-word day.
Thank you.
Yes, that he didn't volunteer his time.
That he didn't volunteer his time. And again, everybody's talking about how horrific that is, but it's whatever. It's looked over that quickly.
Well, there's so much abhorrent...
behavior.
Yeah, behavior in this administration that every day is another slap in the face. You can only hang on to today's outrage because tomorrow morning there will be another.
But then again, with that in mind, and I'm sorry for taking the left turn.
No, please.
Let you throw it back in. But, you know, with that in mind, how horribly is he saying all these horrible things and continually doing stupid things? Who is it truly affecting? On a day-to-day basis, who is being affected? Who are the poor seeing a result of his pulling money? Are they seeing a result of his pulling money now? Who is being affected by him on a daily basis?
Well, we all are.
Yeah,
we're everybody. All being affected. However, the poor, which I shouldn't say the poor red, the poor left. I mean, the poor right have made it a point. Especially during this presidency or during this last election cycle, when it became very much a game show, a competition, a reality competition, that now everyone's got a side, be it Hillary or Bernie or Trump. It was like everyone was rooting for a team, and they refused to have any support for any other team, even though it's all the same game. It's like you are a football fan. You have your favorite team, but you're not always watching your team. You're watching other teams. So you're rooting for another team when you're watching two other teams, right? Mm. They won't do that. All they see is those two other teams, they suck. My team is the only team that matters. I don't know how to say it's tribal mentality. It's complete tribal mentality. And they're the ones really being hurt by this presidency. But they are so caught up in being on the winning team that they refuse to acknowledge that, yeah, we bet on the wrong dog.
In a couple of years when their taxes go up, because everybody's
taxes...
They'll
blame it on somebody else. They will never say, we voted on the wrong guy.
One of the things, though, that came up, I remember, was one of the things that he pulled, and everybody was so in shock, is that he pulled the money for children in schools to have a free meal. Free lunch.
Or Meals on Wheels, for crying out loud.
Is that, has that happened? Where is that happening?
Oh, yeah, that's happened.
It did happen. No,
and who's fighting for it? Who's stepping
forward? Every day is an outrage. It's like you can only, there's only so many people to focus so much energy. If you're attacking the environment and you're attacking children's health
insurance. But I think that's tactical. See, I think that's tactical.
Of course.
I think the idea is to create fatigue, media fatigue, to where, like, how many of us have said, like, everybody I know, I can't watch politics. I can't watch the news anymore. It's too much for me. That's what they count on, because nobody's paying attention if they do that. I feel like there's something that Dave Chappelle mentioned in one of his last specials, and I agree with him on this. This might be, Donald Trump might be the catalyst for real change. It might be, if it doesn't go too far, his administration might be just as bad as it needed to get. Like a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters were saying, good. No, you know what? Let Trump go. Let him see what it's like. Let him see what it's like if you're going to keep picking sides and you're not paying attention to the actual platform of the politic. Go ahead and take a look at what it's like. Well, now we are. And eventually, Trump supporters, because they're really taking a beating too, whether they want to admit it or not, once the taxes roll in next year, they're going to have to say, oh, shit. There's already, you still see story after story of people with buyer's remorse since this election, and it's happening. But maybe this is, if there is a bright light at the end of this horrible tunnel, maybe it is this completely fucked up, random administration is going to be the one for Americans to go, wait, wait, wait a second. Stop. I don't need a TV game show host. I don't need a TV talk show host. I don't need a professional wrestler. I don't need a reality. I don't need an entertainer. I need a politician. And then we'll start focusing. And then turn your attentions to, now you politicians, it isn't enough that this is just what you do for a career and what you do for a living. You are going to start listening. I hope that with the rise of people like Gavin Newsom, with the rise, well, you saw Cory Booker's, he's really making an effort to get out there. So people realize, like Camille, I think you're going to see it with Camilla
Harris.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Is it, yeah. Harris?
Maxine Waters.
Then I think you're going to, I mean, you're already seeing these upstarts start warming up, and you're seeing black and brown and female, and you're seeing minorities, and they understand that movement is already, the steam's already there for that. So maybe that is, by the way, Democrats every week are winning. The tide's already turning. So it looks like we are well on our way to seeing the Democrats take control of the Congress and Senate again, if this momentum stays as it is.
Yeah, there's like 21.
It's happening right now as we speak. It's happening.
Yeah, congressional representatives that are not seeking re-election have been in office for a combined, you know, like 400 years between them.
Well, this year, the election this year, if that happens, boom, he's immediately stunted. He's immediately stopped in his tracks. Trump can no longer pass shit.
And he won't care, and he'll just step aside. We'll go on.
Well, no, I don't know that he's going to make it to that long.
Yeah,
I
but think, and again, he won't care. And if you read any of the stuff that has come out, the book.
I listened to the audio book.
It was so good. It was delicious.
I mean, even listening to it, I did listen to a lot of it. Didn't get through all of it, but a lot of it. The thing is that it's not going to matter to him personally.
Oh, no, I don't give a shit. Put him behind bars. That's what matters to me.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Get him in jail.
But it is going to matter.
Every day. He'll be happy.
It is going to matter to that Republican establishment, because then they're going to have their feet held to the fire when America's going to say, and you let it happen on your watch, Republicans. You let this happen. You said nothing when all of this went down. As America caught fire and we were begging for someone to pull in the fire department, you said nothing. And I'm loving that America's finally wising up to, this isn't about Trump, it's about all of his accomplices. He's just the hood ornament on this hoopty that's driving into a wall. And that's what, all. And that,
but what do you think they'll do? They everybody always has a comeback. Come on, fake news was the best comeback ever.
Oh, it'll and it will. There's always gonna be another you're one. Always going to have you're always going to have that. But the resistance, I feel like, is picking up. We're picking up bedfellows in strange places now. We're picking up hillbillies. We're picking up angry Trump supporters who were like, that's not at all what he said he'd do. They're not jumping on the Democratic bandwagon because they believe of any policy that the lefts have. But they are saying, well, he promised me a wall and he didn't give it. Well, that's fine. Come on in. You're going to be pissed with what the Democrats have to give you. Just say, okay. All right. So we've got, what, 7 minutes?
Yes.
Let me pull up an, oh.
Round one.
Wow. This is
fight.
So quickly, I wanted to mention, if you have a chance to see it, I saw last night, The Shape of Water.
Oh, how was it?
It was amazing. It was, oh my God. It's, I literally, by the end of the film, was bawling. I was so moved. It was so beautiful. I was with a smile on my face, wiping tears off my face. And I looked around. Surprisingly, I would say about 80% of the room was female. It looked like a bunch of girls' night out.
Oh, it's in the Shape of Water? Very,
yeah. It was, because when you watch it, you realize, yeah, it's definitely a romantic, it's a romance.
I want to see I, Tonya. Anyone? I've heard nothing but brilliant things.
It's, I haven't I seen it yet. It. Michael said it was it. It was the be all end all.
Probably one of my top three favorites.
That's what I've heard. I want to see it. Who wants to see it? Anyone? Bueller?
I've got to see it.
I want
to
go.
Yeah, let's see
it. I watched Hidden Figures on the plane. It.
Yeah, Sunday.
I'm all, yeah, let's do it Sunday. I'm all for it. Also, if you get a chance to check out on Netflix, Disjointed.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Loved Here's it. The thing. I watched the first, I told Michael and I talked about this. I tried to watch the first episode. Can't stand the laugh track anymore. I hate it.
You know what I didn't even it. Notice?
I hate it.
I don't like a laugh track Screwed either. It and up for me. Immediately I thought, ugh, the reason I never wanted to get into that show was because it feels completely like TNT or TBS, CBS format, like sitcom, three-camera sitcom. And like, ugh. And then you watch it, and you're like, oh, they just want you to get stoned and watch this.
Big Bang Theory?
Disjointed. Anytime, and of course, anytime they use the word fuck or cunt or any of that, you're immediately jarred back into, oh, wait, this isn't TBS or this isn't CBS. I once you get past Kathy Bates' Midler-sized cranium, Jesus Christ, she's got a big head.
Yeah.
I loved it. Michael was like, "No, you got to see this. Got to see this." I went, "I don't really do sitcoms anymore." All right, now watch it. And it's great.
Just can't get past.
Anything. Get high. You've got to get stoned and watch it. It's definitely constructive.
No, if I get stoned, I'd fall asleep. I've been this.
Now
I'd rather eat a Tide Pod.
Oh!
So that's a new thing, guys. Who
Why?
Wants a delicious
Could someone
Tide
just
Pod?
As succinctly as possible? Because I know you got to go to break in a second.
People
Why
are
they
stupid.
Doing it?
That's just people are stupid.
It's a challenge for ALS.
Remember the water ice bucket? I mean, this is just.
Shut up! It's not a. It's not.
It's not that kind of challenge. But no, but they're friends challenges.
Well, challenge. here's the best.
And I don't. I'm just like. It's literally like,
I put it in. The first Google response was, is the Tide Pod Challenge a real thing, Snopes? Yes! True! People really are putting laundry detergent into their mouths and posting videos online.
I watched a 20-something-year-old man put a Tide Pod in his mouth.
Oh, in his mouth. Okay.
Chew it.
Right.
And chug liquid laundry detergent out of a jug. I'm
what
not
flavor?
Mountain Spring.
Mama keeps white bright like the sunshine.
I saw another guy do it, and I guess the Tide Pod has powder in it. It's like powder, so once the water hits the plastic outside, it melts it and the powder inside.
Right.
And so he chewed it and then he starts like choking. Remember when there was like the ginger challenge or something? And you'd see people expelling.
Yes.
Drag race.
Well, that's what he was doing, was expelling the Tide dry.
Okay. I'm serious. Like, how sad is it that people are doing something like this out of boredom? It's like, Well, thank God they're not doing drugs.
I think that it's not out of boredom. I think it's out of a need for attention.
Yeah.
This may not be
the YouTube generation.
This may not be the popular response at this table, but I love it. I love it.
But people are dying.
Yes, that's why I love it.
Not smart people.
No, I literally, when I read this, I was like, oh, this is really
smart
a thing?
People
yes.
On drugs.
I look at this like natural selection. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly the person I want eating a Tide Pod, is someone who would eat a Tide Pod. Eat
I
it.
I just love Tide
swallow.
Pods. Well, and I just know that.
These aren't kids, these are grown people.
The way this country
you
works,
put it that way.
One person
go for it. Line. Chug,
nobody
chug, chug.
One country can have lettuce on their sandwiches at Wendy's anymore.
So I don't want Tide Pods to be taken away.
Do you use Tide Pods?
Yeah, I love them.
I'm still.
I use the pods for my not. They're not Tide. I use the ones for my dishwasher. Yeah, but
how do they taste?
They're good. They're less minty.
They're more like an appetizer, though.
Yeah, I was going to say they're less minty.
And can I just say this? I'm sorry.
Tell us about swallowing a load.
of
laundry!
I much prefer snuggle. But
a bear?
We grew up...
eating soap powder.
We grew up getting our mouths washed out with soap.
Yep.
We grew up playing with Matchbox cards that were covered in lead paint.
Uh-huh.
This isn't a thing.
I saw a great...
This is our nation, and you see it on Facebook every day. This is our nation who needs something to be outraged about. Because how many times have you been scrolling through Facebook and some asshole friend posts, "Oh no, they didn't!" And it's some article from I Like Pussy Magazine... .com that says, look at what women are doing with their eyebrows. Because one person took a magic marker and drew Snidely Whiplash eyebrows on so they can be 5,000 comments of people being, this looks ridiculous. This is so stupid. If my daughter did this, I'd have her arrested. It's just how that one I saw one where they were girls were adding nose hair to their faces. It's ridiculous stuff. This is not a thing.
Now, wait, don't you imagine, though, the Koch brothers are sitting at home saying the same thing about the presidency? Like, oh, my God, America's just looking for something. Oh, he's...
Yes, I do imagine.
Oh, let's go to break. I can't stand this.
This is a band that we all know and love, and they were actually at the social on Sunday night. It's Book of Love, boy.
Oh.
Never heard of them.
Then what happened?
Talk about misery.
Yeah.
Being in a room with James Caan and Kathy Bates when they had cabbage rolls.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're live.
Oh,
we're back.
Oh, my God, we're back.
Oh,
who was that again?
Book of Love.
The wonderful book.
Yeah, and they played a little tiny show.
Who wrote it?
Social. Who wrote the Book of Love? That's a good question.
Who wrote the Book of Love?
Since no one knows what that band was, I thought I'd give them a song that they might actually know.
Oh, my. Sorry, you didn't want a cookie?
So, no, not for me. That's, but thank you very much. I should have put wrapped candies on the table.
Butterscotch.
So, here's
the scotch.
Here's one for Carol Lee.
The butter, too.
Butterscotch.
And
you want the butter, too?
No, just butt. Butt or scotch.
Butt or scotch.
Jesus. This is why I drink, ladies and gentlemen. So, one for Carol Lee.
What?
Well, because you're the only person at this table who's... Well, that's not true. Christine's going to give a shit as well.
Uh-oh. No, I just...
No, she won't. She won't care. Sunday night was Bette Midler's final performance.
Yes, the 14th.
Yeah.
14th. She had two Sunday night shows, so she must be in the hospital now. Somebody sent a video to me of her final Hello Dolly, which was great. It was kind of like...
It's like a video of the whole show?
No, just of the titular number, just Hello Dolly, just the song Hello Dolly.
Oh, there's a video of it now.
It was someone filmed it.
Sure, can you just send that to
Sunday
me?
Night, yeah, I can forward it to you. Mm-hmm. And it was, you saw it. It was the same. I mean, it was very much like all the right lines got the right response, and it was, you know, standing ovation. Here's what you don't know. The show averages, I think, 8 or 9 standing O's per show.
Lord.
Yeah, but there's moments like the Hello Dolly, I think it's 3. The song Hello Dolly gets 3, and the least of which is not, look at the old girl now, fellas. And then everyone's like, yeah, you're damn right.
Well, it depends on the audience.
Wait, forgive me, who's taking over?
Bernadette
is taking
Peters.
Over.
Peters.
Okay.
Bernadette Peters. Now, did we mention last week...
What?
Your Christmas gift.
Oh.
Carol Lee's Christmas gift. Carol Lee says, hey, got a great idea. Let's go see Bernadette Peters. And Hello Dolly, what you doing May the 4th? I said, can't do it. I'm performing May 4th in New York City for Night of a Thousand Stevies. What you doing on the 5th? So we're going to go see Carol. We're going to go see Carol Channing. We're going to go see Carol Channing.
This happened because I missed last week. I wasn't included in this. Did you get to
your
here?
Ticket? Your ticket was actually auctioned off, and all the proceeds
are going to support Donald Trump.
Are going to long-haired Dotsons of America.
Oh, okay. I'll accept that.
Bernadette.
Bernadette Peters.
I like her.
She's great. No, don't get me wrong. I'm a,
no, no, I would do her in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
Very excited that she was used. I was very surprised she's picking up because at least I don't remember it being common for Bernadette Peters to be second, sloppy seconds. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is that type of show, though, where they don't.
That.
It's not stunt casting, right? It's not like filling in, you know, there we're going to replace, you know, Brooke Shields or...
No, it's absolutely stunt casting.
I guess you're right. It is, isn't it? Yeah. Because everybody has played it. Yeah. Tell them about your recent, what just came in the mail.
I'm such a dork. I found a recording up on YouTube of Martha Ray doing the title number from Hello Dolly.
What?
And when she did it.
Take it from a big mouth.
67. And because she was part of the original run in the 60s.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
And but I collect window cards and souvenir programs from Hello Dolly. And I've got Mermans. I've got Carol Channing. Several of Carol Channing's because she's been doing it for 70 years. But... And I bought the Mary Martin one.
souvenir program. Not a huge Mary Martin fan, but it's nice to have it in my possession. But I also have the Betty Grable one. And I'm fascinated with the fact that in these souvenir programs from the 60s, there are no show pictures. They're all in 60s outfits, pictures of them at rehearsal. In the souvenir program. Can you imagine if you opened up that $75 Bette Midler souvenir program and it was full of pictures of
her in a toboggan. Yeah, her in a toboggan holding like a Red Bull with Barry Manilow.
Standing next to Gavin Creel with his Starbucks. I would just be completely shocked.
Don't want to see it.
But I love it.
Well, a big congratulations to Miss M. I was terrified when I saw her. She was great. And I was terrified that, you know, this was a big hurrah, and it was a big undertaking for her, and she's often expressed that she might want to step away and just sort of focus on her, you know, her philanthropic work. And so I thought, well, this might be the last chance I get to see her live. And she's saying, well, never say never, I might, but she's definitely never doing arena shows again. She said, never again, I'm too old.
No, she's smart. My God, she doesn't have
to. She said, I'm not going to be Anne Margaret falling into the orchestra.
No. Oh, my God.
Too soon.
I won't do that. But she went out her last show. Yeah. She went out the last tour. She danced. She was nimble, and she sounded good, very good. She didn't sound like she wasn't at her best, but she's, you know, she's still holding up. She was still able to do her arena show without it being tragic. I was very happy. I was like, oh, thank God. She's, even though I was by 41, I was easily the youngest person in the theater or in the entire arena.
By a decade.
She made a comment. She was like, you know, my audience used to do drugs and now they're on medication. How many of you drove here tonight and the audience applauded? I'm so glad to see so many of my audience can still drive at night. And that's exactly what it was. It was a bunch of old women and faggots. I'm sorry. LGBTTQQIAA.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
There's a P, pansexual. So anyway, she went out with a huge bang financially. It was record breaking week after week after week.
Which for me
is second only to Hamilton. Which for me, somebody who's been made fun of for 30 years, 40 years for being a Bette Midler fan.
God, I adore her.
It makes me feel vindicated. It makes me feel like, finally, you all say now that the old whore's going to die. Now you love her.
I think that's amazing. I do feel the exact same way that people made fun of you for being a Bette Midler fan, because
I've
been raked across the coals for being a Bette Midler fan. I was a Bette Midler fan.
By LGBTTPPNNLOP.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, by the time that I started drag, when I was doing Bette Midler in the early 90s, by that point, the people who had grown up in my demographic didn't give a shit about her. Do you know what I mean? They weren't. She was still old to them. So my audiences were always people in their 40s and 50s, the people who had watched her sort of rise. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, you know, I'm obsessed, and I'm just always happy when she has a moment. When she shines, and you're not having to make excuses for, isn't she great, or Drowning Mona.
Well, and let's face it, I mean, Carol Channing sang the score, you know, yeah. So, you know, it's not like anybody's expecting, like, she could, she could be forgiven for a lot. Vocally.
Well, but no, and this was, I think she was a huge hit this time around, because all the people who had given her so much shit for playing to the back row and being such a ham in all of her movies finally said, now, Bette, now you can, this is where you're supposed to do this. And apparently, according to an article I read today, they're already trying to fish her back out from me.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I would eat it up.
No. Well, she's too old to be maimed.
She was too old to be Dolly.
Yeah, but it's too much for her.
Maim is harder than Dolly.
Exactly. There's no
way. Lots of fan cakes, are there?
There's lots of fans. Like Lucille
Ball. Lucille Ball had a real struggle with his fan kids.
Oh well, the cast was also directed to kick low when Lucy did the movie.
So light the candle.
And they had to piece that around her register together. They had to piece that recording together. It's vocally, she couldn't do Mm-mm. it. Its name There's is no too way. Hard of a score. It's the greatest Jerry Herman score he's ever written. And Mame has too much to do. Dolly, I mean, she gets quite a few breaks during Hello, Dolly. She gets a lot of chances to sit down.
Well, and it was like somebody yelled fire on stage two because it was like half the cast left with her. It was like,
yeah.
What you hunting, sweetheart?
Roseanne?
Get these away from me.
Roseanne is the last 5 minutes of the show. Yeah, it lasts 5 minutes.
Why am I eating like a bottomless pit? Like I
bottom.
I'm not full.
She said bottom.
Bottomless. I like it.
Moving them away from you.
Oh,
would anyone right, like a cookie?
Yes. Before I eat them all.
So Roseanne Barr is a cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Here I said it.
And this is a surprise since when?
Oh, come on. I worship the bitch. I've been a big fan of her. And it's... Oh. Let me tell you something as a drag queen. Even in this town, you will be backstage and somebody will start up the back and forth between Jackie Beat and Roseanne Barr. And you realize every fucker in the room knows every word. There's a great video of Jackie Beat opening when she used to open for Roseanne Barr in Vegas. They decided just to improv a bit in front of the camera and pretend that Jackie Beat, who paints for the back row, was her makeup artist. And for about, I don't know, 8 minutes, there's this loose improv, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's brilliant.
I think I've seen it.
It is just genius.
But let's be honest, Roseanne's terrible in it.
It's Jackie Beat's
carrying on. Roseanne trying to improv is really bad.
But it also... You know, hello, she's doing her job. She's the semi bono. Just be the straight man there. Let Jackie do what she does. Huge Jackie Beat fan. All you know, saw her live and said, "You're the funniest drag queen I've ever seen. Come open for me in Vegas." They had a residency at New York. Became close. And Roseanne Barr became part of that group in Los Angeles with Nadia Ginsburg and Selena Luna and Mario Diaz. And they started making videos together. Roseanne was producing a lot of stuff that they were doing. She was, it was a good creative bubble. Around this time, you're watching Roseanne attempted a rise to fame with Roseanne's Nuts, a return anyway, and you're realizing, oh, and watching these videos, these interviews with her, oh, she's a little
off.
Yeah. She's, oh, but
quirky.
She's always been eccentric, but, you know, when she had, you remember her talk show?
Mm-hmm.
She still managed to sort of hold a conversation together without it being so, like, too many synapses firing at the same time. She got a little bizarre in the last few years, and then I would watch it and think, well, isn't she just getting wacky? But she's getting older, and she's high most of the time now, and .. Well, anyway... When she started the shit with Trump, I thought, oh, she's kidding. But I thought she's making a point about, she said something, I would rather vote for Trump than for Hillary Clinton because Hillary is so establishment and blah, blah, blah. But I never, by any stretch of the imagination, believed she was saying, no, he's legitimately going to be the guy for the job. And for whatever the case, that's where she's decided.
Well, now his DOG wants to take her lead away. So
that's great. I love it. Justice! So she's
DOJ
Department of
Department of Justice.
Department
of Justice.
Well, dog.
Like Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius.
Genius. The J. Donald Genius Trump. So so recently there's been it's now a revival of the Roseanne show. Starting, I believe, in March. Is it March or I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't either.
I never was a fan.
So it's ABC. It's ABC. So she's back at her home station or home network, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting to see how she plays this out because Roseanne Conner was so, you know, she wasn't Julia Sugarbaker, But when things did get middle America and political, she was sort of like, look, you right-wing politicians, you're not paying attention to us, the little guys. So she has had a lot to say about that recently. And people like Jackie B, people close to her, have fired back and said, look, you're supporting somebody who does not support me, who's actually actively working on drafting legislation against me. How dare you? How you can't be my friend. You can't say you're my friend and do that.
Well, has she responded?
Oh, yeah.
She
Roseanne did respond?
She blocked Jackie, like, literally from all of her close friends that have said this. She just said, nope, you're out of my life. And then, that same night, went back and deleted her entire Twitter history. Made a comment, no, I'm just, you know, maybe I need to retire. And everyone said, go for it. And she's like,
bye.
And then ABC said,
you have a contract.
She's like, oh, well, maybe, no, I meant I would retire from Twitter. You don't retire from Twitter, right? Anyway.
Deactivate your
account. So I sat down and thought about it. And I thought, this would be a good open letter. I haven't done one of those in a hot minute. I would like to flex my bitch muscle. And then I sat down and wrote it. For 3 weeks I wrote it. For 3 weeks. I usually pump these out in about 45 minutes. And it's really 15 minutes to write it, and the next 30 minutes or so are me going back in and redrafting it and sort of changing some things around so that it's more flowery. This was just difficult. It hurt for me because I love Roseanne. I loved her show. I loved her character. I loved her comedy. I liked the idea that you got this sort of everyman rabble-rouser. She got a lot of shit that she didn't deserve in the 80s and 90s, and I was behind her for that. And I would like to address that. May I, ladies and gentlemen?
Please.
All right, here we go. An open letter to Roseanne. Dear Roseanne, insert current last name here. This letter was hard for me to write, and not just because I'm basically useless without a spell check at this point in my life, in spite of having won spelling bees in my youth during the Taft administration. I have waxed and waned over how hard I should be on you. The frosted side of me wants to be gentle because I loved you, and because I care about many people who love you personally. However, the nutritious side of me wants to take that hideous crocheted afghan off the couch on your set and shove it down your goddamn throat. It has recently been brought to my attention that after a great many laborious attempts, you have finally succeeded in completely losing your fucking mind. And I'm not talking about the hateful, misanthropic meandering that has become so common as your racist crazy train grinds off the tracks and sends every car from engine to caboose slamming into Islamophobia. I blame organized religion and all the rest of that culty Kabbalah bullshit that you subscribed to just before you unscrewed your head and shook out the last remaining contents of it onto your kitchen floor. Right off, everything I have to say is anti-Semitic, because that seems to be your go-to nowadays. But I can only assure you that any religion that is practiced with extremism is a hate group in my book. Your ilk is basically the Westboro Synagogue to me, and quite frankly, after filling the last few years with as much racist, anti-Muslim, transphobic bullshit as you have, it's basically the pot calling the kettle a what? Nigger. For you to bark on about someone else's bigotry at this point. Spare me, lady. I'd just like to remind you and everybody that they are being asked to take foreign policy experience from a woman with a constitution so sound that she once married Tom Arnold. I have looked to you as a hero since I first laid eyes on you, Roseanne. A lot of us have. Boy, you sure are different. And let's not pretend that America has been opposed to change where you were concerned. We watched you try on two faces, at least four variances of mushroom-shaped hairdos, and a waistline that ricocheted back at you with the speed and force of a bullet being fired from a semi-automatic assault rifle at a lead wall. I actually always admired your resilience through that. Well, apparently that which does not kill us makes us bitter and bad shit. I remember when adorable Roseanne was forced to become hard-nosed brand manager Roseanne and was labeled a bitch for it. You took so much crap. And when you no longer had to accept the patriarchal standard, you rolled over it like a big pink tank. You were able to take the drudgery of the domestic goddess and transform her into a full-blown warrior that reminded all of us how powerful our mothers and sisters are when the gloves come off and a woman cleans house figuratively. And look at you now. You've completely reverted to type. You're just another bigoted former Mormon who wants the rest of the world to be just as miserable as you are, and obviously at any cost. Now, instead of Roseanne taking a stand for us against the sleazy factory manager, she places his tiny orange on her head as she sucks his tangy Slovenian-flavored 3 inches. Your once-empowering lack of scruples has become a concerning lack of marbles. The very notion that you would run for political office had us scratching our heads, but now that the American political institution has been populated by actors, professional wrestlers, and share spouses, why not a comedian with a nut farm, right? I'll tell you why. We now have at the helm of the ship, and you worship, a reality game show host who has a penchant for staring directly into an eclipse. He's either semi-illiterate or borderline retarded. There stands a solid chance that he's riddled with dementia, and the only thing more frightening to me than him holding public office is someone who suffers from a lifetime of extreme mental illnesses, such as Tom Arnold's ex-wife, garnering public praise and rousing his redneck rabble. My own side of the street is sick and could use a lot of cleaning, Roseanne, but the party that you are squealing for has rendered it impossible for me to ever get help. Much less compete with your many personal accounts of mental institutionalism. I guess I should just be happy you were able to get help at all, but you have me questioning the success rate of that therapy. According to an ABC announcement about your show's reboot, quote, the Connor family will continue to deal with the economic challenges of living paycheck to paycheck in 2018. Well, okay, if you say so. But I'm not buying for a second that the only party that you support has even the slightest motivation to pull your now hillbilly fan base out of abject poverty, considering your Orange Goblin King's recent tax proposal and platform, which would have the Connor family starving to death as Darlene's gender-fluid child is sent away to have his balls electrocuted by Mike Pence. You recently tweeted, quote, when Roseanne first went on the air in 88, it was boycotted by women on the right who felt that fat, working-class, opinionated moms were a disgrace to America. Now it's those same women, but they're on the left. Hashtag, left is the new right. No, Rosie. Some of us just stopped playing nice. We stopped submitting to every turn. Though not nearly as often as I would like. Republicans, with all their bullshit, pious self-righteousness, still refuse to help the disenfranchised, the poor, and the hungry, all the while demonizing and terrifying every minority that they can point a greasy Cheeto-fingered covered at. While the liberals are singing, when they go low, we go high, you just get high. And while you may have been disenfranchised, and while your bank account may have yo-yoed over the years, it's clearly been a long time since you've been hungry. Let's please stop pretending that you are Trump remember at all what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. We supported you, a woman who received death threats and a Republican presidential lambasting for singing the national anthem in a manner generally reserved for macaw parrots with a hearing impairment and brain damage. And now that same woman sides with the very Republicans who publicly spit on her and threatened her children for her treatment of an anthem that they now call for the end of a black athlete's career for when quietly, respectfully taking a knee. Remember when you were anti-war? How's that working out for you now that you support a man who will probably force you to watch your second Korean War? And it's clear from your previous tweets that you share the president's transphobic views on transgender citizens and their usage of a public restroom, your homophobic remarks when referencing the North American Man-Boy Love Association fall on deaf ears now that you actively support pedophile Roy Moore, so you can shove it with the pious bullshit. This is awful for us, your fans. I know what it's like to be at such odds with someone you love, because I have watched a lifelong liberal Democrat family member fall for the ridiculousness that comes from following Donald Trump during the third act of their life, and I can only assume that it's rooted in dementia or a place of new hatred uncharacteristic to them. Well, Roseanne, you finally got to sit at the table with the very people who made fun of you for so many years and made fun of us for supporting you while they raked your doughy ass across the coals. Now that you've been welcomed into their fold and are one of them, you are going to take turns pretending that it's the rest of us who have changed instead of owning what a complete hillbilly monster you've transformed into. Enjoy the reboot of your show that totally rides on the coattails of Will and Grace, but plan on being received a lot less fondly. And finally, I will only ask of you what anybody who has put up with you for all of these years has, and that is to finally get some legitimate mental help. But now I boycott. I boycott Christmases at home with the woman who raised me, so you can bet your sweet ass that I won't watch a single frame of your shitty fucking suck-ass show. The media attention will give your career that quick redneck Chick-fil-A boost that inevitably recedes like a tide because inbred pig fuckers have a short attention span. But everybody else will remember. So will history, Roseanne. So as you close out the third act of your career with this pile of shit, put the brain-damaged head down at night knowing in your final hours you lost and you lost big. Your legacy is forever ruined. Goodbye, Roseanne. Thanks for the laugh, but the slander starts now. Amen. The Divine Grace. Thank you guys for being part of the show tonight. I'm so happy I could leave you guys on such a joyous...
Cookie?
God damn, that was hard for me to write. Like, I sat around going, why am I just going to treat this like I do the others? Then I was like, no, I feel personally offended. Like, this isn't like Kim Kardashian.
You didn't even have to listen to it.
I know, I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. Carol Lee, you read it.
Let you sit and listen to me. I'd
like to give a big round of applause tonight to our producer,
Jay Skinner.
Hello.
To our director, Carol Lee.
Aww. Oh, wow.
That actress and comedian Kristen Robinson.
As the beaver.
And our mistress of ceremonies.
Thank you.
Miss Divine Grace.
Boo! Oh, and we've got Foggets in the house tonight. Katie P.
Katie. And executive Michael producing Michael O.
I'm foggeting right now.
Foggeting all over the place.
You hack cough.
You guys, I love you.
Love
Thanks
you, bye.
We will see you guys next week on another Full of Grace. Hopefully, I'm going to really work on making this less Trump, but it's just, I'm sorry, there are so many days. There are 5 days, 5 business days just filled. Actually, you know what? Yeah, there's 5 full business days, and every day's a fresh hell. Something exciting around the corner.
But Twitter what will it 7 be tomorrow? Days a week. Twitter is 7 days a week.
But no, I can't. But see, but he refuses to release any of the big garbage. So I'm just crossing my fingers for a Korean War next week. Let's all plan. I need to chat with you.
Okay.
For a moment before you head out, because I'd like to talk to you about a possible spinoff.
And I'd like to thank our listeners tonight. Michael Moazzo.
Yay! Welcome, Michael.
Christopher Bishop.
Yay! Welcome, Chris.
Parker Hayes.
Yay! Welcome, Chris.
Erica Roberts.
We had a birthday there, too.
And Eric Roberts.
I said Eric.
Eric Roberts. Julie Roberts. Julie Roberts' brother.
Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts, yes. And then Lee and Kylie was listening earlier.
But
Jenna.
Just
yeah, of course, the number one Foggit.
Jenna, let's please connect this week, and I have some big news for you, sister. And I love you guys. Thanks a bunch, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.